From the Heinz Convention Center, this is the Boston Bastard Brigade, live at the Penny Arcade Expo in Boston, Massachusetts.
We're here at the Penny Arcade Expo in Boston, talking with Jason Pecco and Luis Levy.
Yes.
These are the guys who helped develop... Oh. No, actually, it's just Jason.
I'm the PR guy. He's a PR guy. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so no worries. Yeah, no worries.
Start from the top, I guess.
The PR guy and the creator for the Devil's Tuning Fork.
Yes.
Now, where did the Devil's Tuning Fork first originate from?
So we formed as a team. There's 15 of us formed as a team in the summer of 09 in June. And we met together the first month and just started sort of brainstorming ideas, called a concept boot camp. And so we're just throwing ideas at each other for a couple of weeks. And out of those ideas, we got, you know, about 20 or so ideas that we expanded even further. And from that pool of 20, we took two of them and prototyped them. And one of the prototypes was a story-based game, you know, sort of in the vein of Scribblenauts. And the other one was this game based off echolocation. And that's what we ended up going with. So that's where it came from.
It's definitely a very unique game, but the thing that I'm surprised about is you had 6 months to develop and create this game. How difficult was that?
Well, it was a rough task. When we started in the summer, we were all basically working on it full time. You know, we had core hours of 10 to 4 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday, and then when it really became difficult was when school started in the fall, and everybody had a full course load, you know, taking 4 college classes on top of working on this game. So, you know, it's essentially a 5-month crunch period of development. Once we realized Devil's Tuning Fork was the game we were going to go with, you know, it was just pounding out levels and really testing mechanics to see what could work with echolocation.
I take it you guys must have gone 24 hours making this game, going nonstop with it.
Yeah, there was quite a few all-nighters, or at least very late-nighters, and actually 2 days before we had to submit it to the IGF, it was due on the 15th of November. On the 13th, we did about a 26-hour work period just to tie everything together.
Just to make sure all the kinks are all out of it.
Exactly.
Now, this has been one of the most strangest-looking games I've ever seen.
Cool.
What inspired the look of it?
You know, it is a combination of quite a few things. Like, the first thing was we didn't know what echolocation should look like, and so we did some research. You know, we watched Daredevil. We did some searching on the internet. We saw, like, what renders of, like, dolphins echolocation would be, or sonar. And then we sort of put our own flair onto it. So, like, the first prototype was just standard green that went out from the player, and it looked really cool, but it was really hard to define geometry using that. And so one of the things our art team came up with in order to define geometry better was using line hatching, and they got that from MC Escher. So MC Escher was a big influence to what the style was.
I think this is the first game I've ever seen anyone use sonar as a weapon and a tool. Like, why sonar?
Well, we wanted to use sound in the game. It's a central part of the game, and we wanted to use it to visualize the environment. And it seemed like in our early prototypes, we were actually using, like, the sonar ping that you hear in, like, movie stuff as the sound. And we wanted to move away from that because we didn't want to be sonar. We wanted to be sound.
Yeah.
And so, but we had that wave sort of feeling where when you make the sound and the wave moves away from you. And, I mean, that might not be exactly the way sound travels, but it does travel in waves, and we wanted to represent that to the player.
Now, there's, like, a whole storyline to this game about children that are going into comas, not waking up. What inspired this?
Yeah, what inspired them? Definitely. That's a good question right there.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, like, so one of the big things that we dealt with in this game in the short time period was, like, we focused 100% of our manpower making the game and making the echolocation mechanic, but we didn't even think about story right off the bat. And so, you know, a couple months before the game was due to IGF, we were like, you know, we need something that makes this world make sense. And so we started brainstorming story ideas, and one of the earlier ideas was that you played as this creature on another planet, and the planet had this baseline hum, and that was the only way that everything on the planet could see. And at some point, the hum dies, and then you are a sort of personification of the hum, and your goal is to get back into the center of the planet. Now, you know, we threw that around for a couple weeks, and it turned out like the team just wasn't happy with it.
Plus, the whole alien thing's been vandalized or something.
Yeah. You know, we were just like, it just felt tired, you know. And so we actually brought on a new team member in September, and he had this idea that you play it as a person in a coma, because you know when people are in comas. I mean, you don't know what that's like. You don't know what it looks like. And so we're like, this could be a perfect world for that. And the original idea was to have, like, parts of the world as the sounds. But then it wasn't about the villain. And so then we brainstormed a little more, and we brought this villain into it. And so the story ended up being that children around the world are being pulled into this universe by the villain, and you somehow managed to free yourself enough that you collect the tuning fork and use it to help free other children.
Yeah, and going back to the sound, a lot of the stuff that you hear while you're playing this game is quite creepy. It makes it sound like you're hearing voices inside of your head.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think went really well, and we did execute pretty well in the game. It's a first-person experience, so, you know, naturally you're drawn into it. And then to actually hear, you know, these voices coming through your headphones or your speakers is really sort of creepy. And you have the children voices, you know, beckoning you to help them, to save them. But then there's also this more sinister voice that's on top of that, that's the villain. And he's really, you know, at first, he's sort of like, whatever, you're not going to succeed anyway. But towards the end, you know, he starts to get a little bit worried.
So, suggestion, get surround sound for this, and it will freak you the hell out.
Yeah, surround sound would be amazing. Just playing with headphones on is actually a really good experience.
Kind of like how Silent Hill 2 was creepy with the whole sound effect.
Yeah, Silent Hill is definitely, at least for me, a source of inspiration, because I remember playing that game, and you'd hear like a child cry, and then you'd see something move, and then there was nothing there, and it was like super, super creepy. So sound really can make a game, and that's really why, you know, we wanted to focus on sound in this game, and our sound engineers just did an amazing job, I think.
Well, yeah, that's the same with like Doom 3. Like you know, you're dealing with a flashlight where you can only see like so far, and you're hearing shit in the background. And I mean, I know because I've got a surround sound system for my 360 and my Wii, and some of the stuff, like when you're playing a game, you're like, holy crap, there's something behind me. I have to turn around, otherwise I'm done.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, I can understand that. Sound is a definite like quality to the games nowadays. It's not going to be this too, you know. So it's like 16-bit sound bit, you're like, what the hell is this, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I definitely agree that this game is beautiful. You guys done have 6 months is just amazing what you guys have done.
Thank you.
It's impressive. Was this for a grade? This for a grade?
It wasn't actually for a grade. There was a couple of people were able to take to work on the game as an experiential learning credit.
Okay.
Like where a lot of times you can get a credit like that for getting an internship, and we try to model this after a company to give people real world development experience. So that was I think that's really what made it succeed, is that people looked at this as something that they were making that represented them and the company that we were working for, which was ourselves.
Now, one other game that just popped in my head that kind of uses the whole like more of a dream sequence based thing, where like the creepy dream sequences from the Max Payne video game.
Remember those? Those are very good, and it's a good reference. I mean, we wanted this world to feel almost like a dream, but not really a good dream, you know?
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Trying to wake up from a coma.
Yeah, and especially when it's not just you versus the coma, it's like you versus this sinister creature that really doesn't want you to succeed.
Now, when I was watching the King here play the game, what is the whole basis of going after the actual, like, you know, you got the elephant, you had, like, a bunny rabbit, you like, are these, like, the toys of the children that are, like, are you trying to save them with those, or is that, like, the way to get all the kids back up into it?
So, the idea behind the stuffed animals is that the children's souls are trapped in those stuffed animals, and the villain had put them there. And so, this world they're in is really the villain's creation, and it's sort of his playhouse, I guess, you know, and so the children's souls are trapped into these stuffed animals that are just lying around, and it's your goal to release them and help them.
So now, I don't know if you want to, like, put that out there, but how many levels are we dealing with here?
The demo that's available online right now is it's about 45 minutes long. It's 3 levels.
Okay.
And it takes you through a good progression of the game. And so there's a couple mechanics that are available right now.
Oh, great. So, but what do you think you're expecting? Like, what is your, like, top line you're trying to get through?
We want the experience to be 4 to 5 hours of good gameplay.
Okay, and, great. Yeah.
Right now, the mechanics we have in the demo wouldn't support a 5-hour game. And so we are we're still working on the game. We're prototyping new mechanics and stuff. So the goal is to have however many levels it takes to get our story across to the player in a good 4 to 5 hour experience.
Sounds good to me.
And from the villain perspective, it kind of also reminds me a little bit of, more from a mental standpoint, like a Freddy Krueger of sorts.
Yep. That's one of the things we're going for with the villain is this split personality. Like, if you listen to the villain audio, there's, like, a really calm voice that's not worried at all, and it's sort of just, like, demeaning the player, degrading the player. And then there's this more high-pitched voice that sounds worried all the time. It's like, he's getting closer, you know. And so we wanted to have this sort of dichotomy of the villain of a calm and sort of deranged, I guess, individual.
Yeah. So more or less, you went to the psychology part of the college and be like, help us with that part. So
we could have used a little bit of that.
Now, from what I was playing, sometimes you feel like you're lost in this world. Like you feel like when you're playing in this game, like everything else around you in the real world. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's like you're lost in it.
Right. Well, there's two parts to it. Like, the world itself, we really wanted the player to feel almost lost and alone in this world. But at the same time, from a gameplay perspective, we never wanted the player to actually be lost, you know, because it can be frustrating. We watch people play, you know, we've definitely taken notes on some of the shortcomings of the game, but, you know, the world itself, it's creepy to be in the world, and we want to sort of unsettle the player, you know, and that's, you know, to get them to really want to move forward, but sort of, you know, be a little timid about it.
Frustrate them a little bit, but more towards the fact that it's frustrating to be in this coma.
Right, yeah.
That you have to try to do stuff over and over again.
Right.
Yeah, see, I would find myself in this game, I would be like, I get to the point where I, like, kind of fall off a couple times and be like, son of a bitch! And then get to the point where I'm like, alright, fuck it, I'm walking all the way, and then I'll come back to it. I'll beat this bitch later. So it's like, yeah, it's like, I understand, because that's the beauty of these games nowadays. It's like, you try to get it to the point where you gotta draw the gamer in.
Yeah.
And to the point where they, like, okay, they go back and they do their usual normal things. They're like, you know what? I just gotta go back and beat that game, because there's something I'm doing wrong, or something I gotta do better in order to get myself through that game. And I think that's a beautiful way to market these games nowadays, just because you can get to the player, the gamer, and get to the point where they're like, wow, I put my money down on this game, now I feel like I got my bang for my buck.
Right. So, you want, what it comes down to is you want the player to have a great experience, but you also want them to feel accomplished at the end of the game. And if you make a game too easy, then it's like, well, that was cool, but it didn't feel challenged. And if you make a game too hard, then it's, well, that was way too hard, and I'm not going to beat it.
Yeah,
so you have to find that perfect mix.
Are you creating it just like, the game fits everybody, or are you trying to, like, you're going to be like easy, medium, hard kind of thing, or?
Right now we don't have a plan for having different difficulty levels.
Yeah.
You know, essentially, we hope that it's accessible to everybody.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's definitely visually a game that I think everyone's just going to at least want to try once, because, again, I've never seen a video game look like this, play like this, or even have the tools that you have in this game.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that, for sure. That was our goal, was to create something new that we hadn't seen before, and hopefully in that, creating something that other people hadn't seen before. So.
Right. Now, you're planning to release this for the PC, through Steam. Are you planning on, like, the next-gen consoles for a release of this game?
Well, we're not really sure exactly what our release plans are. Like, what we're looking at is talking with publishers and seeing what they would like to do with it. But I think the couple platforms that it would be really good on would be, like, XBLA, PSN, or Steam, because those seem to represent a good amount of indie games, and that's what we are, you know, we're an indie game maker.
Yeah,
developing.
Especially like you said, Xbox Live, PSN, even WiiWare has been supporting a lot more of the indie games these days too.
Right, for sure.
Like, I can picture myself having the Wiimote in my hand. You know, the A button will be like to do like the regular powered sonar, and then the B button will be like to figure out the trappings, and you know, the nunchuck, of course, the whole direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would fit perfectly, really.
Now, after this game is done, do you have like any new ideas years that you want to try out for video games?
Well, you know, that's a tough question. Everybody on our team's graduating, so as far as the future of as far as the people working on the game in the future, I'm not sure what that holds, but, you know, we had some really cool ideas in our concept phase that would be nice to try out. If this game takes off and we form a company around it, then we'll definitely be looking to create some new ideas and new games that are different, you know? So.
Exactly. We need more fresh blood in a lot of these video games. And this is definitely one of the freshest titles I've seen.
Thank you.
In years.
Thank you. That's really great. Appreciate that.
Do you have any questions you want to add to that?
No, I feel great. And do you want to pitch anything about the college that you're for or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. We made this game at DePaul University, and you know, we were given all the tools that we needed to make this game, and you couldn't really ask for a better environment. You know, the dean's been supportive of us, the entire school's been supportive of us. I mean, they put up an announcement or a posting all over the school when we won Students Showcase finalists at the IGF. So it's just been great. And you know, if you're looking to do some game development and you're looking to get an education, I think DePaul University is one of the best places you can go for that. So.
Yeah, where are they out of?
Chicago, Illinois. It's in the dead center of the city. You know, if you can't find something to do in Chicago, then you're looking in the wrong place.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I know you're not sure if this game's going to be finished, but I have a feeling it will. When this game gets finished, when do you think people can expect to try out the full thing?
So I would say start looking in the summer, and if it's not in the summer, then it could be sometime next year. So we sort of have a couple plans, and depending on which plan goes through, you know, it could be anywhere from the summer to a year from now.
Excellent. Jason Pecko, yeah. Thank you so much for this.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The game is Devil's Tuning Fork. You can go on the official website at
www.devilstuningfork.com, and you can download the demo for free on there.
Excellent. And I definitely recommend everyone checking this out, because you're not going to see a better video if you like it.
Thank you.